This is the Montana News Network's Talk Back. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
The views and opinions expressed on Talk Back are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, April 29th edition of Talk Back. And it's good to have you along this morning. I'm Peter Christian. Mr. Nick Christensen is right over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning, Peter.
And we got new stuff going on here. We've got all sorts of new stuff, and as we slide into and adjust to all these new changes, this is great because we are going statewide today, right?
We are officially statewide today, yeah. So we got a bunch of new stations that are listening in. We're going to be working around some probably little slight technical difficulties here as we get going. But yeah, I want to welcome obviously all our new listeners and kind of explain what TalkBack's all about for those that don't know what it's like. But first, I figured we'd kind of introduce ourselves for you those bet. That don't know who we are. So Peter, why don't you kick us off and give the audience a little bit of your background.
You bet. I'm Peter Christian, and I've been in radio since 1973, if you can believe that. A long, long time. And I've been part of KGVO for, 15, 20 years, and been part of TalkBack for about 8 to 10 years. And Nick and I have been doing this show for quite some time. And we absolutely love doing what we do. And now, with these changes that are just starting today, we are statewide. We are broadcasting throughout the entire state of Montana, all the Town Square media stations throughout Montana, and we are hopefully broadcasting to a much larger audience, and we hope that everyone will call in and say hello and make themselves known and let everybody know that, hey, you have an opportunity to have a voice on this program. So, yeah. So, but it's open phones right now.
Yeah, we're going to do open phones for the first hour. I'll introduce myself a little bit.
Yes, please, Nick.
Because we're not going to take calls here for this first segment or so. But my name's Nick, Nick Christensen. I've been with Town Square now for 11 years, I think. I moved to Missoula in 2010 to go to school at the University of Montana and got a journalism degree.
He's the one with the degree, by the way, not me.
Right. Not that that matters or anything like that, but Peter has all the experience in the world. So yeah, he always kind of mentions that. And I'm like, Peter, you do not need the journalism degree for what we're doing here. So, but I started here as an intern way, way, way back when, and it kind of led to a part-time job and then, just kind of transitioned to what I'm doing now. I'm also the digital managing editor and news director here in Missoula. So producer for TalkBack is just kind of one of the hats that I wear. But
By the way, Nick always wears a hat, just so you know.
I do. I always have a different hat on, it seems like, too. So
The one today is Spittin' Chicklets. And it's an interesting history behind that.
Well, it's a hockey podcast. So, yeah, anyway. Yeah. So, but I played hockey in high school. I'm a real big sports guy. So, yeah, you'll see me wearing a lot of sports hats. And, during the summers, kind of go to the lake and golf and hang out with friends and family. Both my parents live minutes away from me, so I'm pretty lucky here, and got some other family here that I spend time with. And yeah, so just kind of, that's kind of my background for those of you that are just kind of tuning in.
Yeah, and I'm the elder statesman here. I won't even tell you how old I am. Let's just say I'm old enough to be your dad, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're much older than my dad.
So. Oh, my God.
but that's okay. And Peter and I run a joke because my dad actually is his wife's boss. So
wow.
It's a super small world that we have. So, yeah, it's... Peter and I, but I'm just hoping
that you and your dad aren't comparing notes every day.
No. We're both very lucky to both be working with both of you. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I would maybe rather have Lorna and give you to him because she makes all the cookies and everything like that. But yeah. she does a good job of dropping those off from time to time for us, so that's good enough.
And again, a big welcome to all the folks listening.
Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products.
Dennis Bragg with your updated weather. A slight chance of rain, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon Wednesday. And with all the recent moisture, we might see some areas of patchy fog. But for the most part, a mix of sun and cloud and a little warmer with highs around 60. High pressure building in over the region, so skies will clear Wednesday, pushing morning lows down around freezing again Thursday morning. Then a couple of days of nice weather Thursday and Friday. Sun, highs around 70 degrees before clouds return Saturday, followed by more sun on Sunday.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Hey, we are back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number, 406-721-1290. And really, it's good to be statewide. We already have folks waiting on the line. So let's shall we get to those?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. All right, let's get Ed on the line first. Ed, good morning. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead.
Wow, I'm the first one under the new format? Yay. This is about James Comey. Okay, he's in trouble again with Trump. He had some seashells that spelled out 8647, and that supposedly was an assassination threat to Trump. Well, I wanted to see what 86 really meant, so I was going to go to our Funkin' Wagnalls dictionary, but that's not at our location. I had to use the Random House Webster's College Dictionary, year 2000. Year 2000, 86 was in there, spelled out, not numerically, but 80-6. It's a verb transitive. Okay. This chills up your spine, Peter, from high school. But in any event, it says slang, to refuse to serve a customer of a bar or restaurant. You've 86 them if you won't serve them. Okay. Or to reject or to discard. There's no kill or assassination in 86. And I think this is to get at Comey and make him spend another $1 million in legal fees. I think that's what's going to result from this.
All right.
So in any event, someone tell me what 86 really means here.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And so let's continue. Now, we have a great big audience right now going all over the state of Montana. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, Talkback is a call-in talk show. And we basically talk about whatever's happening in the Missoula community or throughout the nation, whatever it might be. We have open phone segments where you can call and talk about whatever you want to talk about, whatever might be going on in your community. We can talk about that. And then Nick always has great guests, such as Bob Seidenschwartz, and we'll get politicians, and we'll get all sorts of local folks or statewide folks or nationwide guests where we can, and we always take calls for anyone who might be joining us on the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, Talk Back obviously is an open talk show. Peter kind of set the stage there. Moving forward, a lot of the first hour, kind of 8 to 9, is typically going to be what Peter has mentioned is open phones. And so that format is open to anyone to call about kind of anything that's going on in your community, anything obviously that's happening nationwide, statewide. Obviously, yesterday we talked a lot about the correspondence dinner, so any kind of current event topics that are going on, we just kind of open the phone lines up, and we welcome everybody to call into the show. All that we ask is that you're respectful and obviously no swearing. And yeah, we like I said, we're pretty much open to anybody. And then kind of the 9 to 10 hour, the second hour, which is usually around when we have guests. So, and Peter mentioned a couple of them, but just to kind of run you through some of the regular guests that you might hear, we have our friend Walt Caro, who's our resident CPA.
Right.
We have Mirdad Kia and Michael Mayer, who they do two programs. They're both, one's still a current University of Montana professor. The other's recently retired, but they do a global hotspot show where they talk about things that are going on around the world. And then they also host a KGVO book club show. These are all once a month. And then we'll have the city of Missoula being represented. We're working on getting other cities where these affiliates are going to be playing, getting them on to have shows of their own as well. But those shows are called City Talk. So City Talk Missoula, hopefully we'll have, you know, City Talk Helena, Bozeman, you know, what are Great Falls. We'll see. We're going to work on that. Some of our other regular guests, we always get Attorney General Austin Knutson on once a month. We try to get the governor on once a month. This month of May, we're going to be filled with all of our political candidates from both sides of the aisle. Peter mentioned Bob Seidenschwartz. He's part of the Montana World Affairs Council, so he brings on a lot of like global guests and ambassadors and things of that nature. And Dr. John Lott, who's going to be on later today at 9 o'clock, he's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and founder, talks about, you know, Second Amendment rights and active shooter situations and a whole bunch of stuff. So
he is a master of statistics. Yep, he really is.
And so he's on once a month as well. So I know I'm missing to be Rob Nadelson, our constitutional scholar. Right. He's on once a month. I'm probably missing a few here. James Brown, our state auditor and insurance commissioner, he'll be on. Peter Kolb and Sandy Perrin, they talk about forestry, and Sandy's a horticulturalist, so Peter Kolb's a forestry specialist. So yeah, I mean, a whole wide gambit here of different regular guests and then some non-regular guests. So, and we're looking forward to getting some new fresh guests on as well. So
you bet. And yeah, and people who are just calling in on various topics with open phones. It is quite literally that. It's open phones, whatever might be on your mind. And we've primarily been here in Western Montana, but now since we're statewide, if there's something going on in your community, in your part of the state of Montana, or perhaps Wyoming, or wherever you might be, we would love to have you call and share what's going on in your community. It's at 406-721-1290. So
also 1-800-568-5309.
There you go.
And yeah, Peter, we got a break here in 15 seconds. So when we come back, we have Harry on the line, and we can start with our open phones for the rest of this hour.
You bet. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk Back, and we appreciate you being with us. Stay with us.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Don't be fooled. With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sourwine.
Congratulations to former Montana Grizzly defensive lineman Hunter Peck. He's invited to Denver Broncos camp. Peck spent one season with the Grizzlies where he was a all-Big Sky Conference performer. Congratulations to Whitefish native and Montana Grizzly track and field star Erin Wild. She was named Big Sky Conference Athlete of the Week after yet another victory in the women's high jump. Her performance on Senior Day last Saturday in Missoula won with a mark of 5 feet 11 inches, topping the rest of the field by 9 inches, and nearly broke her own program and stadium record, almost hitting 6 feet. And Major League Baseball news, the Philadelphia Phillies have fired their manager Rob Thompson after an abysmal 9-19 start. That's a look at sports. M.A. Sourwine.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Welcome back to TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning, and let's get right to those, some of the calls. Jeff has been waiting the longest. Jeff, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. It's good to be able to see that, say that actually statewide.
There you go.
For those of you who haven't listened to this show, you're in for a rare treat. Peter is a Montana treasure. And Nick is his faithful sidekick. It's not quite Batman and Robin, but it's pretty close.
Well, neither of us are Cape Crusaders, so put it that way.
Yeah. No, maybe Craped.
Possibly.
I don't know. Yeah. Did you read the latest from that noted scholar, Ilhan Omar? About her latest.
I have not heard the latest. No, she's effusive to say the least. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, she was in an interview, some sort of press conference. She said the last time she was complaining about the, deporting illegal aliens, and she said the last time the enemy, or sorry, the Alien Enemies Act was invoked was during World War XI.
World War XI?
Right.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. So, one of my favorites is the Babylon Bee, of course, and they had two comments about this. The first headline on the Babylon Bee, which is a satire site, is that Trump and Omar argue over whether it's 2 Corinthians or 11 Corinthians.
Okay.
And then the Babylon Bee has an official recoup of all 11 world wars. So if you want to find out what we've all missed that Ilhan Omar knows, you can go out to the Babylon Bee and find it there. So.
I'm just thinking, imagining all that I missed in my high school history classes.
Yeah, I must have slept through 9 of them. How did I do that? It's amazing. But looking forward to... having our guest on at 9, he is a national treasure, but he used to be based out of Missoula, so we count him as one of our own.
You bet. He is indeed. He's talking about, of course, Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He'll be on with us in the 9 o'clock hour. So, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, sir. And Nancy is standing by. Nancy, good morning. It's open phones. Go ahead.
Oh, morning, Glory, and that was a wonderful, beautiful introduction to your new program here. And I just want to say welcome to all the new listeners. And like Jeff said, you will enjoy the program. And it's just going to be fantastic, I think. I'm really looking forward to it. We all love news, and we have to have news in our lifetime. In order to understand what's going on, and you try to bring a little bit of pleasantness to it. And so congratulations. And I want to just say one thing. This is an interesting time in our 250th birthday as a country. You know, the King of England, King Charles, and his wife, the Duchess of Windsor, Kamala, I believe it's pronounced, and visiting our nation at this time. And, you know, the Revolutionary War and our freedoms and President Trump, and I think that First Lady Melania gave them a very nice welcome here. And it's good to see. I hope that we can heal the wounds between the United Kingdom and the United States that's formed over the last decade. So other than that, everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for the call. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you very much. I believe Annie is standing by. Annie, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Peter. My name is Annie Bukacek, and I'm the current Public Service Commission representative for District 5. That includes part of 11 counties. So I just wanted to give the rundown real quickly. It's West Cascade and Lewis and Clark counties, North, East, Flathead and Missoula counties, South Lake County, and most or all of Granite, Powell, Teton, Glacier, Toole, and Pondera. So those are the current counties that are represented by my district, and I'm currently running for re-election.
Well, I remember we visited with you a while back about your candidacy, and so how is it going?
Oh, it's going really, really great. I'm enjoying it. I enjoy people. And, you know, I practice what I preach regarding my belief that Montanans being informed and engaged with what's going on in their government is critical for keeping Montana on the right track. And so I just recently became attuned to public talk radio is a great way to engage with the public. So plan on tuning into your show mornings that don't conflict with my work schedule.
Well, I really hope you will, because this is our first day of going statewide. Ordinarily, we were just a Missoula or Western Montana program, but today is a big day for us in that we are now going statewide. So, yeah, we appreciate your call.
Yeah, extremely exciting time for you. So, I appreciate the opportunity to be on. So when I campaigned for this office back in 2022, one of my pledges was to keep the public informed, and I've done that for the last 4 years. I got PowerPoint presentations that are on my website, AndyBukacek.com, and I read every public comment submitted to the PSC. So, you know, one of the things that I'm hoping to do over time is explain a little better to the public what the Public Service Commission does, because it's not a well-understood agency. And yet it's one of the most, in my opinion, it's arguably the most important agency in the state.
Gotcha.
It's critical to keeping the lights and heat on for large segments of Montana.
Annie, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, ma'am.
We got about 10 seconds here before our hard break.
But all right.
Yeah, our hard breaks are timed a little differently because of a delay that's put in. So we're trying to figure out the timing of this.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how cute it'll fly, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
TalkBackers.
Dennis Bragg with your updated weather, a slight chance of rain, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon Wednesday. And with all the recent moisture, we might see some areas of patchy fog. But for the most part, a mix of sun and cloud and a little warmer with highs around 60. High pressure building in over the region, so skies will clear Wednesday, pushing morning lows down around freezing again Thursday morning. Then a couple of days of nice weather Thursday and Friday, sun, highs around 70 degrees before clouds return Saturday, followed by more sun on Sunday.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex. How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Going statewide starting today, and let's get right back to the phones and say good morning to Harry. Harry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. And I want to welcome the rest of the state to the party. And I want to talk about the Comey thing. I mean, you know, in the Navy, we use the term 86, or also deep six, or float test, but that was like, you know, burned out. We
float test, that's what, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we float test it, you know,
okay.
But just throw it away, you know. But anyway, it was nothing violent, and the idea that this is somehow, you know, attack on Trump, it's what I find interesting is how the Republicans decried how Biden was, you know, weaponizing the DOJ, and they had to infer that because of some of the people that they were prosecuted. And the funny thing is, they got a lot of convictions out of it. I mean, so, but Trump, he's about as subtle as a sledgehammer. He puts it on the tweet, you know, or whatever his social thing.
It's called Truth Social, yes, sir.
Yeah,
it's
Truth Social, and he puts it out, and they go after him. I mean, he says these people, they got to have done something wrong. Go after them, and they go after them. So even what Jimmy Kimmel, they say, you know, why want him fired, and all of a sudden the FCC goes, you know, is threatening ABC to, you know, take away some of their licenses. So, you know, talk about weaponizing their DOJ and other things. And yet the Republicans say, oh, that's fine. Because we don't like these people. These people are, we, you know, the government, or the, we can use the government against these people because
so,
we don't
so,
like
so basically we want the speech of those we disagree with to be suppressed.
Yeah, right. Or enemies of Trump, he wants, you know, arrested. He's pretty much said, these people, I give you the people, now find the crime, you know, type thing. So it's, I find it actually kind of threatening that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people are going to be arrested because Trump doesn't like them.
All right, Harry, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Jerry is standing by. Jerry, good morning. You're on Talkback. Statewide, sir, on Talkback. Go ahead, sir. What's up?
Yes, well, maybe this subject is a good one statewide. It has to do with U.S. Post Office and how packages are delivered. I've signed up for informed delivery, so every morning I get an email that tells me which packet, which mail is going to, and packages are going to be delivered for that day.
Wow.
And this latest one that I got today just boggles my mind. And let me read through it and then maybe ask some of your readers what they, if they know anything about what's going on. Well, here's a package that April 24th, 11 o'clock, USPS picked up item from Missoula, Montana. April 24th, 6:12 p.m., departed post office, Missoula, Montana. April 25th, 10:14, arrived at Origin Facility, Missoula, Montana Distribution Center. April 27th, 6:16, arrived at USPS Regional Office Facility, Spokane, Washington Distribution Center.
Wow.
April 28th, 4:10 p.m., departed USPS Regional Facility, Spokane, Washington Distribution Center. Today, expected delivery by 9 o'clock p.m. So, and that's apparently a package picked up in Missoula, had to be moved to Spokane, and then back to Missoula.
Right.
So somebody needs to tell me how that is efficient. And I just don't understand the process of what this informed delivery thing says.
Well, I remember several years ago when Max Baucus decided to spend a day working at the post office here in Missoula, and from what I remember, it was quite a while ago. From what I remember, it was when he got done, he was very confused about how the USPS does their business. But you know, we always managed to get our mail hopefully on time. So I guess they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, this one, April 24th, and it's not given here. Delivered in Missoula, and I'm going to get it today, April 29th, and it's a local delivery. I mean, that does not make any sense to me whatsoever. Can somebody out there tell me what's really going on at the post office? Thank you, and I'll get off and listen to people that call in, and let's avoid some of the political bullshit.
Okay.
Hit the dump, please.
Okay, all right, got it.
Jeez.
All right. Okay, we are back on Talkback.
We have a break coming up in 44 seconds.
Yes.
So no time for another call from Marilyn, but we do have Marilyn and Skip and Dave on hold. And, yeah, we only have about 20 more minutes of open phones before Dr. Lott's going to join us.
You bet. Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center, the founder and president of that organization, is going to be joining us and, of course, taking your phone calls at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. This is an exciting new adventure, ladies and gentlemen. We are going statewide, and, of course, we have lots of technical issues that help us do that with the wonderful engineers that have put all this together for us, and we appreciate all their hard work. So we are going to...
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are.
With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine. Learn more at joinallofus.org.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack, 721-1290 is our number. Peter Christian here. Nick questions and taking your phone calls. And folks have been waiting, so let's get Lee on the line. Lee, good morning. What's on your mind on open phones?
I was just listening to the gentleman from Missoula talking about the mail. I'm in Bozeman, and we're constantly having mail issues here, mainly due to staffing. And if I recall, when I was in the military years ago, if you were stationed in an area that had a very high cost of living or no housing, if I recall, we used to, if you were married and living off base, used to get an extra differential pay. So why wouldn't the post office say if you're in Bozeman or if you're in a place that's a high cost of living, those postal clerks maybe should get some sort of a differential increase in their pay for being in that area, and that may help them in hiring.
Could be. That's an excellent suggestion. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Marilyn is standing by. Marilyn, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hi. So I would like to talk about the RU486. So that was a chemical abortion pill that people knew it as RU486 for many, many, many years, and now they call it something else that people kind of distance themselves from. It's mifepristone. I can't even hardly say it. Anyways, it started, so the German Nazis, when they wanted to distance themselves from the victims that they were shooting, they started gassing them, and there was a company called IG Farben that was in charge of that at the time. Well, then when that company was known for the Holocaust, they changed the name to HOST, HOESTHSTAG, and that company has survived and is a pharmaceutical giant in the United States. So today, it's common for the abortion clinic workers. They don't want to see the dead babies anymore, even the abortionists. So the chemical pill is now popular. Yeah, so that's RU486.
Marilyn?
Does mean killing and discarding and getting rid of the baby.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. All right, Skip is online. Skip, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please, sir.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and congratulations for being all over the state.
Thank you.
Now everybody in the state gets the opportunity to enjoy a program that's in pretty much the 93 corridor, north and south, west on the west side of the state. And it's quite a family that you have, sir. And you've been doing this a long time, and we cover a lot of details. Heck, I'm sure a lot of the world's problems have been solved right on this program.
Well, let's just say some of the problems have been identified here, but maybe not necessarily solved.
Haven't heard Marilyn on for a while, but I wanted to say about Ann Buttigieg that just came on a little while ago. I know what she's running for. We've been able to hear from the man that's running against her, who is David Sanders, who used to be the executive director of the PSD.
Right.
Sure would like to get Annie on there. Got some questions for you, Ann, if you're still listening. And also, when the PSD has their meetings, it's on a PBS station. And I urge everybody to watch it. I watch it carefully. I watch all the state agency meetings. And I would just love to see her on or hear her on for a half an hour or an hour, because I promise you I would call in and ask some very specific, non-sidesteppable questions.
Okay.
So that we could all understand how important it is to fix our PSC. Because right now, it's the worst soap opera in all of our state agencies. So thank you, Peter. Have a great day.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate that. And I think we have time for, a couple more calls. Dave is up next. Dave, go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Dave, and I'm going to introduce myself to the state. I want to warn the public that, I'm a history nut, I believe we can learn a lot from history, and especially history wars, because in particular, I've got a war that I want to talk about, a recent war that we could learn a lot of information about. But I don't want to bore you today on that subject. I do want to say that I am an independent voter. I voted for both R's and D's, and what I expect from politicians is the truth. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth, even if it isn't unpopular truth. And what I would like from politicians is that they work together across lines as the founding fathers intended to solve problems. And it's not always the best solution, but it usually is a working solution.
Well, Dave, I think you're playing the part of the everyman right now, because I think everybody who is interested in what's going on with our country wants all the folks that we elect to work together, try to find solutions and move forward rather than just have all the petty bickering.
Yeah, that could be, but there are people who come on the radio and say, I love this politician. I almost worship that politician, and I don't believe that's the way that we should be looking at things. These are human beings. They do things that are wrong, and we should call them on it. Now, I'm not going to be one of those people who call in and say, I love this individual. I'm going to be standing up there and saying, I like what he's doing for this, but I dislike that, and I'm going to criticize him. And I think that's what we all should do, is speak out when we hear something we don't like a politician saying or trying to do.
All right. Well, Dave, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And now that we're statewide, everybody can get to know you.
Okay. Well, I'll probably bore him to death by history. My history stories, but I think some of them are very important and are valid today.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the interplay between our regular local callers, folks like you, and so many others who call in on a regular basis, having a chance to be exposed to and to folks all around the state with varying different opinions, and that really makes a show like ours even more flavorful, because when everybody chimes in, then we get a chance to hear what everybody has to say. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, my only worry is that there's going to be so many calls that I won't get in to bore people.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that for a little while. So we'll see. Well, hopefully we'd love to see our phone lines jammed every day, but we don't know what's going to happen. But we're making it available to everybody who listens throughout the state. Oh, go ahead.
Give that phone number again?
Yeah, 406-721-1290 is our number, or 1-800-568-5309. You can use either of those numbers. Nick is quite literally has his fingers poised over the phone to take your calls and to get you on the air. So we're going to come right back after a quick timeout, so stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Small businesses are the heart of America. Like you. These entrepreneurs started out with a dream and a drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea...
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. Let's get right back to the phones and say hello to Susan. Susan, go ahead, please. You're on.
Hey there. Welcome all of Montana. I did not catch who that candidate was that called in, but it sounded like
it was Annie Bukacek.
Yeah. Okay, so if she is, okay, I know who she is. So that was District 5, which mostly includes Great Falls, Helena, and let's see, Great Falls, Helena.
I think District 5 also contains Missoula. Yeah, I believe it does, but yeah.
But a tiny,
okay.
tiny bit.
Gotcha.
It's like in Tura.
Okay.
Yeah, Tura. But anyway, thank you, because I didn't hear it. I am statewide telling people that it is critical for you to vote in the school elections. There are ballots in people's hands right now. The percentage of people that vote in this election is dismal.
It is.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's
usually about 39% at a maximum.
Well, that's generous, because I've heard that it's like right now it's running very, very low.
Yeah.
So get out and vote. If you are someone like myself that owns a house that sees their property taxes, they're going up and up and up. One of the things that causes that is when you vote yes on any levy or any bond. So if you would like to have your property taxes go up because of the percentage that is put into your property tax for whatever is approved by a levy, then vote yes. But if, like me, you get a ballot, I encourage you to vote no, because it's going to keep your taxes as low as possible. And I will tell you, Montana is not a friendly state for people that are in retirement. It's not. And so anybody on a fixed income that owns their house outright, the only thing that keeps going up are taxes.
All right. And I will tell you, and you know this, Susan, I've said this many, many times. I have never once in all my years of being a voter have ever voted to raise my own taxes, and I won't. I won't ever do it.
No, and I'm going to tell you, they are all worthwhile.
Thanks for the call.
But what bothers me is that school districts across the state do not live within their means.
Thanks.
I know I've got to go.
Susan, thanks for the call. All right, let's get Jerry on. Jerry, quickly, what's on your mind, sir? Please go ahead. We've got about three minutes.
Actually.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead. Please forgive me. Go ahead, please.
No, that's okay. Welcome, Peter, and real quickly, we all totally agree with Susan on the property taxes. I was fighting to keep my 87-year-old sister in her home. She had $5,000 a year property taxes, and we didn't vote for any of the taxes or the levies or the bonds. We did not vote yes. And lastly, what people have to realize and remember is when we elect these politicians to these positions, they work for us. We are not dumb people, like some of them try to say. They work for us. So if they're not doing the job, we have the right to recall. They are our representatives.
But it's also inherent upon all of us who are registered voters and taxpayers to keep track of what these folks are doing and let them know, aside from just at the ballot box, but let them know their phone numbers are available. Just give them a call, say, hey, I disagree, or thank you for doing this, or I wish you wouldn't do that.
Absolutely. And we do that, but a lot of people don't. And sometimes they're the boards, whatever it is called, when you call in, sometimes they won't even take the person that's answering the phone won't even take the call. They say, okay, thank you, we have to go, and they're gone.
Oh, they won't take your message. Yeah.
Nope. So we need to just keep calling and saying, hello, you work for us. Remember that. We put you there. We are not dumb citizens. We know what we're doing. So anyway, thank you very much, Peter. Welcome, and look forward to hearing you.
Where are you calling from?
Kalispell,
okay.
Montana.
Great, wonderful. Thanks so much. Let's get one more call in. Go ahead.
Norma.
Norma, good morning. What's up?
Well, Peter, hi. This is Norma Ashby Smith in Great Falls.
Hey.
And we can't wait for your podcast. We're so thrilled that you'll be coming to Great Falls now on broadcast.
We're talking to a legend right here. Yeah. Go ahead, Norma.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was on TV for 26 years here in Great Falls and had a great audience, and you will have a great audience too, Peter. And you are the voice of Montana now, and I'm so proud of you and what you're doing.
Well, I couldn't do it without Nick sitting right over there, and because we wouldn't be on the air without him. So, yeah.
Well, I know all your crew is important to you, and you're important to us. I just wanted to let you know that. And you'll be hearing from me from time to time, because I always love to hear your responses to whatever I call about. Okay?
Wow. I've got chills running up and down my spine. I've talked with Norma Ashby. This is great. Norma, thank you.
We both know how important broadcasting is, and especially Montana broadcasters really reach out to people who care about our beloved state.
You got it.
And I'm one of them, and sure love you. Thank you so much, Peter, for taking my call.
Thank you so much, and we're coming up against the top of the hour. We have another hour coming up, but we're going to have a special guest in the 9 o'clock hour. That would be Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He'll be joining us from 9 to 10, taking your phone calls. So, 721-1290.
Turn off the mics. You're good.
This is the Montana News Network's Talk Back. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Wednesday, April 29th edition of TalkBack. Peter Christian here, Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. And we are honored to have with us on the phone right now Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, good morning, sir. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Congratulations on going statewide. My only question is, why did it take this long? But it's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Well, it's good to talk to you. And if you wouldn't mind just filling us in for folks who maybe are just joining us statewide, tell us about Dr. Lott and your organization, the Crime Prevention Research Center.
Well, I've gotten to know you quite a bit over the years because I lived in Missoula for a while.
Right.
I've been an academic most of my life. I've had research and teaching positions at Stanford, University of Chicago, the Wharton Business School, Yale, UCLA, Rice. I was chief economist for the U.S. Sentencing Commission in Washington, and more recently, I was the senior advisor for research and statistics in the Department of Justice. And, you know, just kind of travel around the world and give talks on various crime issues. I've been in Australia recently and Argentina. But you know, if it deals with crime, anything from policing to vote fraud to gun control type issues, there's a good chance that we've done something on it.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
Sure. Okay. Hey, John, one of the other reasons I wanted to have you on is you sent me a text the other day about Elon Musk retweeting a video of yours for the second time, and I think you said it had like 20 million something views.
Wow.
What was going on with that?
Yeah, it's actually up to over 45 million now. So when Musk retweets something, it definitely goes viral. The first time he tweeted it out, it only got about 11 million. It's nice when you do work that it gets attention. And I appreciate the fact that he was willing again. In fact, I don't even know of another video that he's done twice. We tried looking around a little bit, couldn't really find anything, but he tweets out so much. It's possible we missed something, but it definitely one way of getting the word out for people on the research that you do. And the work that he was tweeting out, I think, is important. It's something that we've talked about before, dealing with kind of the errors in the FBI data on things like active shootings, and the cases that they've missed. And the fact that even when you can get the FBI to admit that they've missed a case there, years later, they still haven't fixed it. And it has a real impact on things. I mean, it's not only used by the media, it's used in court cases, it's used in legislative debates, it's used in academic research. And, so the FBI claims that for the 11 years from 2014 through 2024, only about 3.6% of the attacks were stopped by civilians legally carrying concealed handguns. An active shooting is an instance where a gun is fired in public, not part of some other type of crime. Anything from one person being shot at and missed all the way up to a mass public shooting. I think it's 36%.
Yeah, and Dr.
And nobody needs to. Go ahead.
We're coming up against a break. 721-1290 is our number. Our guest, Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And we're going to come right back after a quick timeout. And we already have Rick waiting to visit with you when we come back from the break. And all of our other phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go. Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but...
Cold and flu...
Dennis Bragg with your updated weather. A slight chance of rain, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon Wednesday. And with all the recent moisture, we might see some areas of patchy fog. But for the most part, a mix of sun and cloud and a little warmer with highs around 60. High pressure building in over the region, so skies will clear Wednesday, pushing morning lows down around freezing again Thursday morning. Then a couple of days of nice weather Thursday and Friday. Sun, highs around 70 degrees before clouds return Saturday, followed by more sun on Sunday.
My name is Emma. After a car accident left me paralyzed, Canine Companions teamed me up with my service dog, Marcia. For 50 years, Canine Companions has been teaming dogs together with those who need them the most. Visit canine.org to change lives.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. We're delighted to have Dr. John Lott joining us on the phone right now, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, good morning and welcome once again, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you.
You bet. So now, we do have a caller waiting to visit with you. Let's get Rick on the line. Rick, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. Except for... two incidences with Paul Pelosi and I believe it was AOC that had some liquid thrown on her at a speech. I can name at least a dozen attempts or violent acts taken against conservatives. Right now, it's really dangerous to be a conservative. I think our president broke the record for attempts on his life. What do you think the MAGA groups will do? Because I don't think Trump's going to lift your office. It's, you know, four times, if it happens, it'll be four times. I hope it doesn't happen. What do you think the MAGAs will do? Do you think you'll see violence in the street? Antifa likes violence. Black Lives Matter likes violence in the streets. You haven't seen that, although the news media would disagree with you that MAGA are the most dangerous people out there. You don't see riots conducted by MAGA. The J6 thing was sort of the antithesis of what MAGA would do. But do you? I don't think these people that are advocating, they say they're not advocating violence, but their rhetoric surely shows it. What do you think will happen if our president is assassinated? Do you think that it will turn around and the MAGA people will actually start performing violence at the rate as we see Antifa and BLM?
It's interesting. Right. It's interesting you bring up the cases you do. I mean, first of all, on the Pelosi case, the individual who did it had a gay pride flag at his place. His former partner said that his views were kind of all over the place. But the media wanted to go and classify him as somehow possibly a right winger. You had the attack last year in Minnesota where a state representative and her husband were murdered. The media, because she was a Democrat, classified the person as a conservative right winger type. But, you know, they found literally hundreds of No King flyers in his car. Wow. He was appointed to two advisory boards by two different Democrats. And as you mentioned, you had the George Floyd riots. You had the Lafayette Square riot in front of the White House where more than 150 law enforcement officers were injured and they had tried scaling the White House fence. You had the firebombings and attacks on pro-life facilities following the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision. You had the plot to kidnap and kill Justice Kavanaugh, you had the 2024 ambush and murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. All those and many, many more came from the left. You know, I assume on the one side you'll go, they'll go and point to J6, but you know, you compare that to Lafayette Square riot that the media ignores. You had more law enforcement, many more injured, several times more in the Lafayette Square riot than you had in the Capitol case. So, you know, one doesn't want it on any side to occur, but you know, it's. I don't know how much more inflammatory rhetoric you can use than what the Democrats do when they talk about fascism, Trump wanting to be a dictator, comparing him to Hitler, authoritarian. I mean, just this last Sunday on CNN's State of the Union, you had prominent Democrat Congressman Jamie Raskin was on. And he was asked by Dana Bash about whether he should tone down the rhetoric, whether he had any regrets or not. And he went on and started calling Trump authoritarian and blamed him for the deaths of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, saying that these individuals, all they had done was exercising their First Amendment rights. And that's what got them gunned down in the streets. You know, leaving out the fact that Renee Good had struck an officer with her car, had ignored verbal warnings, orders from an officer, or Alex Preddy had literally put himself between officers and people they were trying to arrest. He disobeyed direct orders from the officers to stop interfering. He got into a physical confrontation and was trading fisticuffs with officers. And he was carrying a weapon at the time, even if he didn't touch it. All those things surely heightened officers' concerns about the situation. And so, you know, you have statements like that, and they're not challenged on CNN by Dana Bash. You have at least a few people, like the guy who tried to do the attack on Saturday, who obviously, if you read his manifesto, which is completely deranged, you know, he believed a lot of these things that he hears. And if you just need a small percentage of people to be able to do that, look, you know, I hope that there's not going to be violence if Trump is assassinated. There's surely going to be a lot of people who are going to be upset. All I can say is, if you look over time, you know, it's pretty clear where the imbalance has been in terms of these things. And, and you know, the thing that's most disturbing to me, though, is that the Democrats just refuse to go and acknowledge the violence on their side. I mean, you look at things like anything from the Covenant school shooter or the Minneapolis school shooter this last year, or the 2023 mass shooter in Louisville, or the guy in Highland Park in Illinois in 2022. Time after time, these guys have left diaries or manifestos where they make their left-wing views very clear in the motivation for why they do these attacks.
And Dr. Lott, we are coming up against a commercial break here. I want folks to know Dr. Lott's going to be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question or a comment, we invite you to give us a call. The phone lines are clear at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, Dr. John Lott is founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research.
This is Spencer Frederick, Stockman Bank Billings Market President. At Stockman, we offer the power of local. Convenient, innovative financial solutions backed by the power of local management and decision making. This commitment empowers our team to make quick, informed local decisions.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Missoula authorities say one person died Monday night after being swept downstream when a boat overturned on the Clark Fork River near Clinton. And warmer temperatures in the next few days will bring spring runoff conditions to most of the rivers in western Montana and across the state. Agencies warning people to be especially aware of changing conditions and to watch also for the possibility of trees that were downed in last winter storms. While some markets like Missoula and Billings reporting a flattening of housing prices, that's not true everywhere, as Nick Northern reports.
If it feels like housing in Montana is getting harder to afford, you're not imagining it. A new ranking is putting the spotlight on just how expensive it's become to live under the big sky compared to the rest of America. In fact, most Montanans are spending at least 30% of their monthly income just keeping a roof over their head. That puts Montana as one of the worst states for affordability when it comes to housing for both owners and renters. See just how bad it is and where we compare to the rest of America now on our website. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Nick Northern.
It's bad enough that gas is more expensive again this week. Now the Broadwater County Sheriff's Office is confirming two card skimmers were discovered over the weekend at the town pump in Three Forks. An employee found the discreet devices on diesel pumps at the Travel Plaza just off Interstate 90. Authorities aren't sure how long the skimmers were active, but they are investigating. To protect your data, experts recommend wiggling the card reader before you swipe to see if it's a real one or sticking to tap to pay or paying by cash. If you fueled up in Three Forks recently, check your accounts for any suspicious activity immediately. And the Glasgow City Council trying to work out a bit of a problem in appointing a new police chief. KLTZ Radio reports the Glasgow City Council hit the pause button on appointing a new interim chief following a tragic off-duty accident earlier this year. They say they want to know more about what happened in that crash, even though the assistant police chief, Tyler Edwards, was ultimately cleared in an investigation. This is the Montana State News Network.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back, 721-1290. That's the number, 1-800-568-5309. Dr. John Lott joining us on the phone right now. And Larry has been waiting through the break to talk with you. So, Larry, go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning, Dr. Lott. I've been looking at some of these Brno launchers and the Saber non-lethal ways to protect yourself.
Right.
And I'm wondering if your group has done any investigations in this. The advertising seems to say that hundreds of law enforcement agencies are using this, and I wonder if they've replaced tasers or how effective they are.
Right. Well, yeah, you can go to our website at crimeresearch.org and put in the word Brno, and you'll find what I've written on it. I guess what I would say is I think that there's a lot of misinformation in the ads that are there. So when they talk about non-lethal, just in comparison to guns, I guess I'd point out that about 95% of the time that people use guns defensively, simply brandishing a gun is sufficient to cause a criminal to go and break off an attack. That well less than 1% of the times that people use guns defensively is the attacker wounded or killed. In some sense, the overwhelming majority of the time that people use guns, it's non-lethal also. But, you know, the thing is with police having it, and I'm not sure it's hundreds, but there are a number of police departments that do have it. What you find is that police also have guns, and they keep using the guns. And the reason is because it's a backup. So you look at... So these are really no different than other things that that police have had access to. You look at something like tasers or stun guns. The New York Police Department has had detailed data on that for decades. And only about a third of the time do they incapacitate the criminal there. And there are real important reasons for it. One is what type of clothing. You know, in the winter, you know, someplace like Montana, Is the person wearing heavy, thick clothes? Do they wear rubberized boots or shoes that that go and prevent them from having a grounding for the electricity to go through? You look at something like pepper spray or mace. There are real limits to using that. If you're outside and it's windy or it's raining, that will stop it from being used. People develop tolerances to using that over time. If you have a criminal who's been sprayed before, he may not be incapacitated, really. And also, there's a delay. I mean, it can take 30 seconds for that to go and affect somebody. A lot can happen in 30 seconds that's there.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody can't own a gun, you know, because they have a criminal record, for example, you know, maybe having Byrna is the smart choice because that's the option that they have. But I would argue that particularly for women, particularly for people who are relatively weaker physically, particularly people who are most likely victims of violent crime, having a gun is by far the safest course of action for the person to have there. And, you know, I think a lot of this stuff focusing on non-lethal is misleading. And there are other things that I think are in the ads that I found misleading. But you can find everything on our website with regard to this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Larry, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. So, Dr. Lott, where is gun violence the worst in our country right now? Is it in like New York, Los Angeles, things like that, or is it fairly spread out throughout the entire country?
Well, the United States is unique in terms of how heavily concentrated murders are. For example, in the United States. 56% of the murders in the United States take place in 2% of the counties. 73% of the murders take place in 5% of the counties. And if you ever look at a murder map, which kind of shows where the murders occur in the 2% of the counties, you find that about two-thirds of their murders take place within 10 block areas. So murders are really heavily concentrated in the United States, and it's overwhelmingly related to gang activity. In most other countries, you tend to find murders much more geographically spread out than you do in the United States. And that's in part because we have relative to other crime, we have a very serious drug gang problem in the United States. We have a serious drug gang problem. Of course, murders generally are falling. I mean, this last year, it looks like we're going to have the lowest murder rate ever recorded in U.S. history.
Wow.
It looks, the previous low was 4.5 per 100,000, but it looks like it's going to be actually below 4 per 100,000. In 2024, it was about 5 per 100,000. So you get an idea of how much it's gone down. But it's going to be true for violent crime across the board. And this is quite a contrast during the 4 years of the Biden administration. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, we had a 59% increase in felony violent crimes. That was the largest percentage increase that we've ever seen. And it fell last year.
Yeah, Dr. Lott, we're up against a commercial break. We're going to come right back. By the way, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Lott, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Coming right back after this quick timeout. And again,
some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little fly, sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Let's go.
Prime rib, anyone?
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own vacuum.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Do your happy dance, do your happy dance, yeah.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids' meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack statewide now. TalkBack at 721-1290, 406-721-1290 in Missoula, 1-800-568-5309. Anywhere else in the entire world, we're joined by Dr. John Locke with the Crime Prevention Research Center, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Folks are on the line to visit with you, sir, and Skip is up first. So, Skip, good morning. You're on with Dr. Locke. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Peter. And thanks for coming on again, Dr. Lott.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I frequently get in conversations with the sheriff's department, all for good reasons, honest. And it's a lot about what's going on in our schools, and what they're, especially because we have an election coming up. We actually have competition for sheriff in Ravalli County at this point. And so, one of the questions that I always ask privately and in meetings is what's presently happening in our school systems here in Ravalli County, and then also what a vision would be for the future so that it would be even better than it is. So would you review your cliff notes on a few PowerPoints of what you think would be best to protect our school populations as far as armed personnel and door locking and surveillance of any kind, so that everybody can be more on the same page. I know you have some ideas about that you've stuck with, and maybe they've changed. But would you please tell us some cliff notes on that? Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. John, go ahead,
sure.
Please.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, it's possible for schools in Montana to allow armed teachers and staff there. Basically has to be approved by the school board, I believe. But there are not that many schools that do it, but there are some. Nationwide, there are about 14,000 public schools that have armed teachers and staff. We have put out reports on that, and I'm about ready to update the data through 2025, from 2000 through 2025. And what you find is that of all the public schools that have had armed teachers and staff for all these years, there's not been one single attack where anybody's been wounded or killed in any school that's had armed teachers and staff. All the attacks, and we've looked at all discharges of a firearm in a school, all the attacks have occurred where teachers and staff are banned from having guns. They've even occurred in places where you have, uniformed school resource officers. And look, I've had a debate with some of my conservative friends about armed school resource officers, and I understand what they're doing. But my plea is, if you're going to put an officer in a school, please don't put them in uniform. Please don't make them readily identifiable. Make it so that they're the PE coach or some staff member or something else, and put a sign in front of the school that just says, warning, select teachers and staff at this school are armed and will use their guns to protect the students and others that are there. You know, the way I could phrase it to you is, and the question I often ask is, we have air marshals on planes. Does anybody think an air marshal ought to be in uniform? I don't know anybody who thinks an air marshal ought to be in uniform, because if you happen to have terrorists
on a plane, who do you think the terrorists are going to go after first if they can identify who the air marshal is? And we've recently completed a study where we've looked at all the active shooting attacks in the United States from 2014 through 2024. And what we find is that civilians actually stop more of these active shooting attacks than police did. And that even though the police stopped fewer of them, they were 12 times more likely to get killed in trying to stop these attacks than the civilians. And there's simple reasons for that. If somebody's going to go and shoot up a place and they see somebody in uniform, you give them real tactical advantages. They can either wait for the officer to leave the area, maybe go to another building at the school, or they can go on to another target themselves. Both of those make it less likely that the officer will be present when the attack occurs. Or if they do insist on attacking where the officer is there, who do you think they shoot first? They're going to shoot the officer first. And, you know, and so there's good reasons why we generally put officers in uniform, but people have to understand and appreciate what an incredibly difficult job police have in stopping those attacks.
You bet. Dr. Lott, we're coming up against a break, and we have Harry and Dave both waiting to visit with you on the phone. Several other phone lines are open, by the way, at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we would love to have you join with our conversation with Dr. John Lott. So we're going to be coming right back after this quick timeout. Again, 406-721-1290. We'll be right back. Coming up right after this.
Hey, guys, it's Jessica Flint. You know, I don't think most of us are really looking for fancy when it comes to dinner. We just want something good to eat. Something we feel confident serving the people we love most. That's why our family chooses again and again Reminisce Angus. What I appreciate...
Check out the news.
You've been diagnosed with COPD, but breathing is getting harder. Everyday activities take more effort, and life feels smaller. Is this you? If your COPD is getting worse, there are options to help you breathe easier. Learn more at isthisyoucopd.org.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. Dr. John Lott joining us on the phone, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Folks have been waiting on the line to visit with you, Dr. Lott, so let's get Harry up first. Harry, good morning and thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, John. There's a saying that says correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation. And I
agree.
You kind of implied that you, just because Trump was voted in, that that caused crime to go down. But I'm pretty sure you would agree that most policies that are city or state have more effect on crime than federal policies, although federal policies can filter down. But it takes a while, and usually only with states and cities that agree with the federal policies. But also, you represented, I think you misrepresented what happened at to the gentleman who was shot in Minnesota. I mean, you said he was fist cuffs with the cops, but I saw the videos. He was not. I mean, this being an academic, I would hope you would be a little more, you know, forthright with this, because he was just helping a lady get up. They knocked him down, and also he sounds like implied that just because you have a gun, it gives the cops the right to shoot you. So I'm pretty sure you don't agree with that, but it sure sounds like it, what you're saying.
Well, if you look at the video, he actually placed himself between the person there and the officer, okay? He was given direct orders. I don't think anybody can deny. Sorry. He was given multiple orders from the police to leave the area that was there. It's one thing for somebody to go and protest on the side. It's another thing for somebody to place themselves between somebody who the officers are trying to arrest and the officer. And he did get into a wrestling match with the officers. He got into a wrestling match with a couple of the officers that were there. And that occurred for a substantial period of time before he was shot. You know, look, the guy was carrying a gun. I have no problem with somebody carrying a gun. I have no problem with somebody carrying a gun at a protest. But stay on the side. If you think the officers are wrong, okay, you think they're giving you an unlawful order, then challenge it in court. okay? You don't get into a wrestling match with the officers that are there. You don't, you know, even if you did get into a wrestling match, I assume most people would be smart enough to instantly lie on the ground or whatever and obey the officer's orders at that point. So, look, I mean, you can go and, you know, I don't know. And the good case also. And what was the first part of the question that you had there? What was that? I can't remember.
He was asking about, like, crime rates and how President Trump and federal laws.
So, look, surely there are lots of things that affect crime. And anybody who's read my writings on this, I say there are lots of things. But there are big, substantial changes that have occurred. During the Trump administration last year, the FBI arrested more than twice as many people as they arrested in 2024. Wow. You had U.S. attorneys around the country under the Biden administration were refusing to prosecute violent criminals in many cases. Just look at D.C. D.C. is unique in terms of that the U.S. attorney there can go and bring charges against and prosecute all adult crime. But in 2022, the Biden U.S. attorney there refused to file charges again and prosecute two-thirds of the people that had been arrested. In 2023, he refused to prosecute 56% of the people who had been arrested. Judge Jean Pirro is not only going after all those people, but she's going after much more serious penalties for those that she's charging than was occurring. You know, you had obviously places like Washington, D.C. and Memphis where there were huge changes in murder rates for places that were among the highest murder rate places in the country after Trump federalized law enforcement. He had smaller efforts in cities from Portland to Chicago and other places out there. But there's also one other thing that's national that I don't think people appreciate, and that is deporting illegal aliens. You know, 70% of the illegal aliens that were deported last year, at least up through November, had criminal records, either in the United States or their home countries. And I know a lot of people only want to count a criminal record if somebody's been convicted of a crime, and they'll limit it to only violent crimes in the United States, not, you know, things like drug dealing or other things like that. But if you look at people who, in my recollection, saying somebody had a criminal record would include whether or not they were arrested for a crime and not yet convicted. What happens in many parts of the country when an illegal alien is brought in and arraigned in a county courthouse, there may be ICE agents there and they'll pick them up and deport them at that point. And so, you know, I look at this and I say 70% of the illegals who were deported had criminal records. That's at least some benefit. But it's more than that. You have other illegals that you haven't caught yet who are committing crimes, but they don't want to get deported. And how do they keep from getting deported? Well, they keep off of police radar. And how do you keep off of police radar? What you do is you don't go and commit many crimes right now. And so it's not just the ones that they've deported, but the ones who are worried about getting deported, which is a lot of them. I mean, if you look at the data that's come out for New York State recently, 14% of those incarcerated in New York State are illegal aliens, even though only about 4% of the population in New York are illegal aliens. And even that 14% is clearly an underestimate of the share that illegals make up of the incarcerated population there, because New York State refuses to go and cooperate with ICE in identifying whether somebody is an illegal alien who they have incarcerated. And on top of that, as I just mentioned, you have a lot of illegals in New York who, when they were arraigned, were picked up by ICE. And those aren't included because they never make it into the incarcerated population. And even some who were convicted, when they were convicted, they were picked up and removed by ICE at that point. And so you know, the 14%, which is, you know, more than several times more than their share of the population there, is a real underestimate of the problem.
Dr. Lott, we're coming up against a hard break here in just a moment. We have Dave waiting on the line and Jeff both as we are talking with Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout. And
protecting our communities from wildfires is a year-round job for all of us. And at Northwestern Energy, we're working right there with you to do our part. From clearing brush and trees near power lines and investing in advanced weather stations and smoke detection cameras to installing.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listen, retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisfreetirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Coming into our final segment with Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Folks have been waiting on the phone to talk with you, sir, and Dave is up first. Dave, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, first about a case that I just saw on TV. A woman came into the United States under a 2020, I believe it was, legal immigration law that Trump is trying to change. Now, she is working at the present time in a military base. She's never had a record. Her husband, a 26-year a soldier who served three terms in Afghanistan, and she's being deported. I question the legality of it and why she is being deported. But I want to talk about what you talked about.
Well,
about,
can we just deal with that before we go on to the next?
Because we're running out of time. Yeah, go ahead, John. Thanks, Dave.
You know, the thing is, if she's married to a U.S. citizen, then I think there's something strange with the story there, because she should be able to apply for a green card without any problem and get citizenship. And so the notion that, you know, whatever her status is, the fact that she is married to an American would protect her. I mean, I know this. I was married to a foreigner for a long time, and I kind of know the rules on that. So there's something missing in the story.
All right, let's get another call in. This is Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Lott. Good to talk with you again. I want to foot stomp something you said earlier about D.C., you know, President Trump cracked down on crime in D.C., and then immediately the crime level dropped. Now, correlation is not causation, of course, but when I walk into a room and I turn on a light, flip a switch, and the light comes on, and somebody says, well, how can you prove that the switch did it? I just look at them like they're a fool. Okay, you want me to go through the whole long technical term, or do you just assume that when somebody does something like that, it happens? And I think that folks who challenge your analysis need to bring an alternative. Okay, if it wasn't President Trump, then what was it? Did the water just suddenly change? Did they take out fluorine? What happened? Otherwise,
I agree with you. I agree with you. Look, I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of evidence on this. We know from a huge amount of research that if you make it riskier for criminals to commit crime, they commit less crime. You can do that with higher arrest rates, higher conviction rates, longer prison sentences, letting victims defend themselves. But it's more than that. So you can see strong correlations between the percentage of the adult population with a concealed carry permit and the drop in crime. As the arrest rate, as the percent of crimes that result in arrest increase, you see greater drops in crime. So it's more than just this changes. You look across lots of places over many years, you know, to me, it's not rocket science. You know, you got, if you make it riskier for criminals to commit crime, you're going to have less crime. And you just don't want to look at one place. And obviously, many other factors can change. And that's the reason why we do empirical research. I don't think most people appreciate that, but the vast majority of academic research around the world dealing with something like crime uses U.S. data. And the reason why they use U.S. data is we have 51 different laboratories. You know, a state may go and spend more money on police, but they may increase criminal penalties, or they may do something else, or maybe welfare changes, or something else changes at the same time. But it's only if you have a lot of different experiments in a lot of different years, and if you only have one place, you really only have one experiment. You can't control for more factors than you have experiments there. But with the U.S. data, and so academic study after academic study has shown that there's that relationship that you're convinced of. And one other thing, just look at D.C. After in the month that there was the full federalization of the law enforcement there, they went for 18 days without a single murder, 18 days in a row. The odds of that happening are compared to the rates that murders were occurring in D.C. immediately before that. It's like 1 in 10,000. Okay. You know, in January this year, you had 2 murders in D.C. You know, and one of the things that's kind of amazed me is so many Democrats were claiming, well, you know, this is going to increase crime. Well, you know, you'd think somebody would apologize for this.
Dr. Lott, we are flat out of time, but it's always a pleasure being with you, sir. Thank you so much. We look forward to our next visit. Thank you.
It's great talking to you, and congratulations again on the statewide show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Law. Appreciate that, sir. All right, Mr. Nick, what's coming up, sir?
Yeah, for tomorrow's show, we'll do open phones from 8 all the way until 9:30. Normally, okay, It'd be kind of 8 to 9, but right, we're going to carry it over for that first half hour at 9 so that we can talk to some of our new listeners and explain the show a little bit. And then 9:30 to 10, it'll be Congressman Troy Downing on the phone. So we'll have him for a half hour, and we'll chat with him about what's going on in his office.
Yeah, Troy's the Eastern District Congressman. We don't always get a chance to talk to Troy, but I've visited with him many times. He's a great guy, and we're looking forward to that visit. It'll be good to catch up with him once again. So, and again, thank you so much to Dr. John Lott for sharing his expertise, and more, of course, thanks to all of you as well. 721-1290, we'll be back.